Have you ever had a moment when something beautiful gets totally destroyed that you love and you can just feel the anger well up in you? You ever had a moment like that? A moment where maybe you were late coming home from work and you knew that your kids were going to be at home by themselves for an hour or two. And when you left that morning, the house was pristine and it was beautiful and it was clean. And you open that door and it looks like a frat party happened. There's trash on the floor, empty soda cans everywhere, and there's that unidentifiable sticky stuff all over the counter. You know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah. And you're like, I don't even want to know. Can we just get new counters? I don't even want to clean it. I walk into a house like that, and I just feel the anger welling up in me. I'm pretty convinced every time my daughter bakes that she intentionally throws powdered sugar on the floor. Maybe this last few weeks when it got super cold, you tried to go out to, Anderson Falls, right? And you wanted to see the beauty of God's creation, the frozen falls. Did you guys see this picture? And somebody decided they were going to add beauty to it themselves, and they painted the frozen falls in a rainbow. Maybe you like it. Maybe you thought, wow, that was really creative. But for a lot of us who just want to go see what God has created, it's a little frustrating. You get all the way out there in the bitter cold, and you're like, really? This is frustrating. You feel the anger welling up in you. Last summer, my family took a family vacation. It's something that we have done for years down in Texas. We would find a house to rent that was in the middle of nowhere where you couldn't get internet, you couldn't get cell phone reception, so we could just unplug for a few days. And we thought, hey, since we haven't explored the area here yet all that much, we would rent a house in Brown County. Like, it's easy to get lost in Brown County, so I thought this will be great. So we found the perfect house that looked pristine and surrounded by the forest. It had like a fishing pond in the back, a fire pit large enough for a whole family. And so we packed up everything we needed for the week, and we drove the beautiful 40 minutes rather than 4 hours we had in Texas to get there. And we pulled up about 4 p.m, and it was everything that we wanted. You couldn't see a house anywhere around you. You couldn't hear anybody anywhere around you. The fishing pond was perfect and pristine, and the fire pit was awesome. And so at like 4:35, my family says, let's light a fire. Let's get a fire going before we get dinner happening. And so we get out there, and we're sitting around the chairs, and it's perfect. And 5:30 hit, guys. And that's when our family had like their own little epiphany. Because, see, this house sat at the bottom of a really steep hill, and it was on a long straightaway. And at 5:30, an entire parade of oversized pickup trucks with no mufflers came screaming down that hill through the straightaway at 60 miles an hour, absolutely destroying every ounce of beauty and peace and quiet of the crackling fire that we had there. And for the next half hour, every 5 minutes, rawr, rawr, and we were just like, all right, this is done. So we went inside, and my wife and I thought, well, maybe it's a fluke. Right? It is just one night. I went out in the morning early with my coffee. I had my Bible. I was going to do my devotion and my readings. I sit down, and I kid you not, the exact same parade of trucks came from the other direction on their way to work. Whoom! I got up. I came inside, dumped my coffee out, and I'm done. I could just feel the anger welling up. We had this all planned to sit in the beauty of God's creation and enjoy it, and it was destroyed. Have you ever had that feeling when the beauty of something you love is destroyed and that anger just wells up in you? As we've been talking about Epiphany and talking through the opening of Jesus' ministry, we've seen some really interesting new insights about this person of Jesus Christ and his work. Like, why in the world would Jesus get baptized? He who knew no sin didn't need a sinner's baptism, but he did it for you. He stepped into the waters to take your place. Last week, Pastor Adam shared with us that Jesus is actually a little bit scary. Usually we think of Jesus as like, oh, he's my best friend, he's awesome. But the reality is when he's commanding demons, pulling them out of people, and silencing them with power and authority, it gets a little scary. And the good thing is he's on our side, right? Well, today in our scriptures, Jesus is going around and he's doing something that, quite honestly, most of us who spend any time reading the Gospels, it's like, yeah, this is what Jesus does. He heals people, right? We know Jesus as the healer. And so it's really not a surprise for us who've heard the events before that Jesus goes into Simon Peter's house and his mother-in-law, who's sick with a fever, stands up, or he gets her up and just heals her. Fever's gone. Everything is good. It's not a surprise to us that when a leper comes and falls at the feet of Jesus, that with just a word and a touch, Jesus can heal this man completely. Now, for everybody seeing it for the first time, talk about a shocker. But for us, that's not the surprising part, is it? What's actually surprising is not that Jesus heals people, but that Jesus has, I guess, an attitude about it. Did you guys notice that in the reading there? You see, when this leper comes up to him, when he throws himself at the feet of Jesus, when he gets down on his knees, we see this man broken in every way. This leprosy has taken away his physical health, his emotional health, even his spiritual health. It's just absolutely destroyed it. And Jesus is there, and this man throws himself at the feet, and he begs him. He says, if you are able, if you are willing, can you make me clean? And then Jesus says something, or the scriptures say something about Jesus that is shocking. After this man throws himself down, it says Jesus was indignant. He was downright angry. And you've got to ask the question, why in the world would Jesus be angry about a broken man with leprosy who throw himself down begging for healing? Why would he get so indignant and angry? Maybe it's because this man had leprosy and was unclean and disease-ridden, and he touched Jesus. And Jesus is like, great, now I'm unclean, now I'm going to get leprosy. But let's be honest, Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doesn't get leprosy. Jesus doesn't get sick. He does the opposite. So why is Jesus angry with this guy? Maybe it's because this guy questions, to some degree, Jesus' willingness or ability to bring healing to him. It's as though he has some kind of lack of faith, and that angers Jesus. But let's be honest, if you were going to throw yourself down at the feet of a total stranger and say, if you are willing, heal me, cleanse me, that's a fair amount of faith in that person that you're exhibiting, right? So it's probably not that. So is Jesus really angry at this man, or is it something else? You see, when the beauty of something you love is destroyed, it's easy to find yourself getting angry. As Jesus looks on this man whose life in every way has been destroyed, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, when the one who spoke creation into being, the one who formed this man in his mother's womb, the one who made him in the image of God, looks upon the destruction that sin and disease and sickness has wrought upon this man's life, Jesus gets angry. When he sees the destruction, he gets angry. Throughout the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus get angry over and over. And it's actually a picture of Jesus that we don't get in Matthew or John or Luke, really. For example, this is on the screen. This is from Mark 3:5. It says, Jesus looked around at the crowd in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to a different man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and the hand was completely restored. A whole group of people had gathered in the synagogue on the Sabbath, and everybody wanted to test Jesus to see, would he heal this man or not? And Jesus got angry because of the thought that the kingdom of God would be inhibited by other people. On another occasion, his disciples this time were preventing parents from bringing their children to Jesus. And it says in Mark 10:14, when Jesus saw this, he was indignant or angry. And he said to his disciples, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I wouldn't want to be a disciple that day. You see, when the kingdom of God is hindered by anything, Jesus doesn't just let it go. He gets angry about it. Mark 9:19, when the disciples couldn't heal a boy who was possessed by a demon, and everybody begins to argue. It's like they've completely set aside the boy who's suffering and ignoring him, arguing over whether or not they could do this. He comes up and he says, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." You see, Jesus cares so much for his creation that when he looked upon that man with leprosy and he sees the total corruption of his beautiful creation, he gets angry. And in this moment of downright anger, we see, it's revealed to us, Jesus' deep care and love for you and me and his creation. You see, in the same way he looked upon that man with leprosy and was angry, he looks on us. And when he sees our disease and our sickness and our illness and our struggles and our suffering, when he sees our bodies riddled with cancer, when he sees us struggling to be able to feed ourselves and to walk and to do the regular things we all do every day because MS is riddled our bodies. When he sees us struggling with chronic pain day in and day out, when he sees our broken hearts because of infertility, time after time after time it hurts, when he sees the struggle of mental illness, of schizophrenia and bipolar, it makes him angry. When he sees us as we age and he sees dementia begin to take over and we lose what seems to be the core of who we are and all our memories, it makes Jesus angry because he sees the destruction that sin has brought upon his good and beautiful creation. And I'll tell you what, Jesus, as the Lord of all creation, when he gets angry, he does something about it. He exercises his authority by reaching out his hands. And not just to a single individual with leprosy, but he reaches out his hands, one to his left, the other to his right, and he allows them to be nailed to a cross to bring healing, not just to one person, but to everyone who would trust and believe in him. You see, Jesus reaches out his hands to heal us from our deepest, most core sickness and disease, sin. Every physical, every emotional, and every spiritual disease or struggle we have emerges out of that sin that exists in this world and in our lives. And Jesus goes to the cross to bring healing from it. Just a chapter later in the Gospel of Mark, Chapter 2, Jesus says to all the Pharisees who are arguing with him, he says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." It's where we get that title, Jesus is our great physician. But what's interesting is long before this moment, long before Jesus was healing lepers and mother-in-laws and everybody else, God revealed a name of his to his people. In Hebrew, that name is Yahweh Rapha. In English, it means the Lord who heals. If we go all the way back to the book of Exodus chapter 15, as God was leading his people out of slavery in Egypt, he brings them to the Red Sea, and with Pharaoh's army right behind them, he parts the Red Sea, they go through, and he saves them from sure and certain destruction. And we get so excited about that. But then what happens on the other side? Well, here, God leads them into the desert, into a wilderness, a dry wasteland. And for 3 straight days, God's people march and walk and wander in the wilderness with no water. No water. They grew tired, they grew hungry, they grew thirsty. And they wondered, where are we ever going to get a drink of water? And by happenstance, I suppose, they find an oasis, and I can imagine them all running to the water to drink, running to finally quench that thirst, and they get there, and guess what? It's undrinkable. They discover that this oasis in the middle of the desert wasteland, after 3 days of marching, they can't drink from it. It's bitter. And so they named it Mara, which means bitterness. You know, when we go through times of sickness, when we suffer from diseases or debilitating disorders, when we experience in our own bodies the destruction of God's good creation, it's easy, isn't it, to find ourselves growing angry and even bitter. When you flip through the pages of the gospel, you see Jesus walking along, healing one person after another. It gets so absurd that in one town, the people hear that Jesus is coming into the marketplace, and they literally drag their loved ones into the streets just so they can touch the robe of Jesus. And of course, they touch, and they're all healed. They're all healed. When we look at the Israelites stuck in the desert, at an oasis they can't drink from, growing angry and bitter, it's easy, isn't it, to feel the same way when we feel like there's no escape from our own pain and suffering and disease. You know, when the people grew angry and bitter, Moses cried out to God. Where else are you going to turn? He cried out to God, and there's this kind of strange moment where God reveals to Moses, he's like, it says he showed him a piece of wood. So Moses says, God, we have no water. We're all dying of thirst. Would you please help us? And he says to Moses, check out the piece of wood over here. Like, what? This doesn't make sense. And I don't know what God told Moses to do. I don't know exactly what he did. But Moses picks up the piece of wood, and he throws it into the water. Now, if I'm sitting there as an Israelite dying of thirst, I'm thinking Moses has lost his mind. It's over. We're done for. But in this moment when Moses throws the wood into the water, it brings healing to that water. It cleanses it. I don't know if you've been suffering with sickness or disease, or maybe someone in your life has been. I don't know how long maybe you have suffered. And I wish I could tell you, but I can't, when it's going to stop. And I also know that what you might be going through is really hard and challenging and even confusing as you read the Gospels and you watch Jesus heal one person after another, and you're stuck suffering. You know, when that wood went into the water, the Israelites probably had no idea what was going on and why Moses was doing it. Didn't make sense. And what I've found in my life is that when God is doing big things, it's sometimes hard to make sense of it. It's far beyond our comprehension. In the Old Testament, Job suffers and suffers and suffers. And he asks and he questions God, what in the world is going on? And God begins to reveal to Job, look, you are this big and I am infinite. My ways and my will is far beyond anything that you can comprehend. My love for you and my care for you is beyond what you can comprehend. And what I have found so many times is that though I may not understand everything that's going on, God is still at work in our lives, and he cares. When we can't make sense of things, this we do know. God took a piece of wood, gave it to Moses, he threw it in water, and cleansed the water, healed it, and he saved his people. When things don't make sense, this we know. That with a piece of wood that Jesus carried up to the Mount of Calvary in the shape of a cross, Jesus brought healing to all of his people. He brought healing to you and me. While God may not always deliver us from our sickness, he may not always heal us right here and right now the way that we want, God promises that through the cross, he will heal us fully and completely in both body and soul. And as we wait upon the Lord to deliver us either from our sufferings in this moment or out of our sufferings in the future, we hold this truth of Jesus, that he is our great physician, that he chose the suffering of the cross, the agony of the cross for you, that he knows our pain, that he has suffered our pain, that he today is still present in our pain, and that he will deliver us out of that pain. Every healing we see in the gospel is not an end to itself. It points us to something greater than ever. And that is the healing that took place on the cross and a healing that will take place when Christ returns. Because he is the Lord of all creation, the Lord over sickness and disease. He is the Lord who heals.